Replicator Roulette by Android and Ale, read by Cookie Mom 6067. Chapter 1. Bees? Jim took another long drink of his rum-spiked vegan hot chocolate, beaming as his brother lied his way to winning another game of dreidel. He didn't always keep kosher, even at the holidays, but Pike's quarters still smelled like brisket and latkes with a sukkanyat tracer. It felt good to wear a kippah and mix company and enjoy the same meal his grandmother's grandmother made. This was the kind of holiday people only had in holovids. Sam set it all up during their last subspace call. "You're spending Hanukkah on the Enterprise. No excuses. I told Captain Pike that Mom used to order a full traditional holiday spread from Niedermeyer's for us every year, and now he wants to outdo them. Don't ruin this for me." Their bellies were full, the dishes were washed, and Pike's holiday orphans sat gathered around a bright silver triangle that only bore the faintest resemblance to a tree, with two Hanukkah flanking it, one candle lit in each. The ostensible tree was decked with handmade ornaments given to Pike by his crew and surrounded by wrapped presents. "All right, number one, I'm down 60 credits, so let's pause spinning the dreidel and get to the good stuff." Pike eagerly rubbed his palms together. "I've got three presents to hand out from one Michael Burnham of the Discovery." Jim saw Spock make a fist as his eyes closed. He took a slow, purposeful breath before opening them again. "You okay, big guy?" Jim leaned in close, squeezing his shoulder as he whispered. Spock's voice was barely audible. "I am in control of my emotions." He downed a surprisingly large gulp of his peppermint hot chocolate, glaring hard at the pile of presents. "Yours first." Una handed Pike a large rectangular box. He put an ear against it, picked it up and shook it, then tried to squeeze the middle. She kicked his shin. "Just open it already, you doofus." He laughed and ripped through the replicated blue and gold paper. Inside was a sapphire blue t-shirt with gold lettering across the chest, reading "Disco." The note reads, "I can still kick your ass, old man." Pike beamed at it before holding the shirt up to his chest. Jim leaned over to Sam. "Is he opening a dance-themed restaurant?" Pike laughed harder. "It's the standard issue workout shirt from the Discovery." "Imagine if they did that for the Farragut." Sam grinned at Jim. "It would just say, Far." "That's because unlike some ships, the Farragut explores the unknown," said Jim. "We actually work in space, unlike some crews whose only missions are exploring the buffets at diplomatic events." Pike and Una shot him simultaneously side-eye, but Uhura's face split into a wide grin. "You're just jealous you weren't invited to Crown Prince Hrothgar's betrothal ceremony." Jim lay a hand over his heart. "Not for lack of trying. I could have been your plus one. You know I would have shown you a much better time than your Gallimite date." "She likes him for his brain," La'an, Una, and Ortegas chanted in unison. The room erupted in laughter as Uhura blushed. Ortegas kicked Jim's boot. "Hey, if you wanted to do ship-based shirts on the Farragut, yours could say, Gutsy." Jim nodded, grinning at her. "I like it." "You should sneak those in your crewmate's stockings when you get home." Ortegas toasted him with her cinnamon fire martini. "Start a new tradition now that you're the XO." Jim waggled his eyebrows at her. "If you help me code it, I just might. I think Captain Garavit could get behind the crews wearing Gutsy t-shirts." "As long as you wear them far, far from here," said Sam. "Har, har," Jim rolled his eyes. Sam elbowed him in the ribs. "No, that's far, far, Mr. First Officer." Pike beamed at them both. "Don't think you're getting out of here without a present." He pointed to a large bowl of unlabeled plastic computer cards. "Anyone who doesn't have presents from folks off ship gets something printed on the spot from the Replicator Roulette stash." "It's mostly contraband programs confiscated from the crew," said Ortegas. "And screened for safety," added La'an. "I hope I get the life-size stuffed sellout," said Ortegas. "It takes 5 days to fully inflate, but once it does, it's big enough to sleep on." "Only if you're 160 centimeters, muttered Una. Ortegas stuck out her tongue. Una rolled her eye and blew her a kiss. Jim cocked his head to one side. "Is that a popular gift for Vulcan children?" "No," said La'an. The Ferengi used the toys as a decoy container to transport tribbles. I am a full-sized adult, Ortega shot Jim a playful glare. You are 16 ferrets in a trench coat, said Jim. Una hip-checked Pike as she topped up both of their mugs of mulled wine. He handed her a box for the Discovery. Inside was a matching workout shirt, this time in command gold with black disco lettering. Folded underneath it was a bubblegum pink racerback tank top with the word disco emblazoned in sparkly rhinestones. The final letter was shaped like a disco ball. A pair of sparkly rainbow disco ball earrings were folded inside it. Did she only send you one thing? Una reached for Pike's box. He pushed it away from her. Let's see what Michael sent for you, Spock. Pike's foot shoved his box under the couch as he leaned forward, holding out a slightly thicker package for Spock. The bespoke wrapping paper was a repeating pattern of Vulcan ears. Spock didn't take the box. I would prefer to open whatever Michael sends me in private. Who's Michael? Jim asked Ortegas. She shrugged, equally confused. Come on, Spock, don't keep us in suspense. Pike waggled, the present invitingly in Spock's direction. Una grinned over her mulled wine. Don't make this an order, Lieutenant. Spock gingerly took the box, staring at it as though it was an unexploded plasma mine. He turned it over, looking for a seam in the paper. It's replicated wrapping paper, said Una. All one piece, printed at the same time as the box and its contents. You have to dig in with your fingers and rip it. Spock let out a world-weary sigh as he casually ripped the entire box in half. Blue and black fabric with flashes of gold tumbled out. It would appear I, too, have been given a workout shirt. A whole workout outfit from the look of it, said Jim. He picked a pair of black sweatpants from the pile. His eyes went wide. The word prize was printed across the ass in bold 14-centimeter-high gold print. Spock's face went completely blank as he took them from Jim's hands and neatly folded them, hiding the text. Beside him, Ortegas picked up a science blue t-shirt and held it up so everyone could see the word ENTER emblazoned across the chest in gold. The Starfleet delta at the end of the word pointed suggestively downwards. Jim struggled to keep a straight face. Captain Pike, your new uniform options will certainly have an effect on crew morale. Ortegas draped the blue workout shirt over Spock's chest and picked another shirt off the pile. On this one, the front text was PRIZE in matte black surrounded by sparkly gold, with the center eye replaced by an outline of a Constitution-class ship. On the reverse, the word ENTER was positioned at the small of the back, outlined in the same gold as the front. The letter T was shaped like an arrow pointing down. This is not regulation, said Spock. The room erupted with laughter. What about these? Ortegas picked up a pair of science blue boxer briefs from the pile of fabric. The wide waistband was printed with ENTERPRIZE, 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 ENTER. Wrapped around it in repeating text. There's a little misprint, she giggled. The middle front was emblazoned with the word prize in extra large text just over the cup. The enlarged enter that was centered over the middle of the back included a surprisingly phallic letter T, once more shaped like an arrow pointing downwards. It looks like your boyfriend knows what he wants for Hanukkah, Jim winked at Spock. Spock glared at the pile of clothing. Michael is my sister. Oof, said Jim. That kind of family, huh? What did you send her? Asked Ortegas. Bees, said Spock. Ortegas and La'an exchanged a slow look. You replicated her bees? Asked Uhura. No, said Spock. Pike shot Una a look. She nodded faintly. I need to powder my nose. Uhura, want to come with? Before Uhura could answer, Una lifted her by the elbow and marched her towards Pike's bedroom. Uhura had her communicator out before they reached the door. The captain took a long drink from his steaming mulled wine. While they're freshening up, let's keep the party going. Sam, I have something for you from an Aurelan. Sam's eyes widened. How did you? According to our security logs, you've conversed with her an average of 4.2 times per week for the last 2.5 months, La'an looked smug. I theorize she was a spy, attempting to seduce you for intelligence about Starfleet, added Spock. But the captain suggested she might be your girlfriend. We haven't put labels on it. Then this is probably a bomb. La'an passed the package from Pike to Sam. Let's all find out together. Explosive decompression would result in a rapid end to these alleged festivities, said Spock. Jim held up the boxer briefs. You're just jealous Sam has someone to wear these for and you don't. Spock attempted to pull the boxer briefs from Jim's fingers. Jim grinned at him, refusing to let go. Spock's eyes narrowed. Lieutenant Kirk is not welcome in my undergarments. Whoa, what the hell did I miss? Una and Uhura emerged from Pike's bedroom. Una looked relieved, whilst Uhura stared at Spock, wide-eyed and more than a little unsettled. Sam's girlfriend sent him a present, said Jim. Ooh, let's see. Una settled on the couch next to Pike. As Sam ripped the paper, she leaned in and whispered to the captain. Both of their eyes settled on Spock, who fastidiously ignored them. Pike pinched the bridge of his nose and sighed. Sam gasped as he opened his present. It's a museum-quality replica of a... He blushed and hugged it to his chest. Of a what? Asked Uhura. Spock eyed it critically. A rather explicit mating totem from the late archaic period on Lehanar 6. This one indicates a desire for specific sexual acts, many of which Lieutenant Kirk lacks the athletic prowess to complete. I specifically recommend against Spock, Jim squeezed his shoulder. I do not need to know what my brother gets up to in bed. I didn't need to know he'd ever got it up, said Ortegas. As far as I'm concerned, he's a Ken doll down there. Jim held a palm in her direction. Ortegas high-fived him. Una handed Pike her drink. She bent sideways, draping herself over his lap as she stretched to grab another present from under the stylized tree. It looks like Santa left something big for Ensign Uhura. Jim caught Pike's eye. He winked and subtly mimed a quick little spank. Sam put his hands over Jim's and pushed them down, glaring fiercely as color rushed to Pike's cheeks. Uhura took the large, unwieldy trapezoidal box. Ooh, it's heavy. I don't think this is clothing. She ripped off the paper, revealing a hard musical instrument case beneath. Her breath caught as she flipped open the latches. It's a lutungu. Her fingers reverently stroked the seven-stringed lyre. Music is another form of communication, said Spock. If you are amenable, we could practice together. You just want the crew to complain about someone else's playing, said La'an. I am confident Ensign Uhura possesses sufficient skill that no one will have complaints, said Spock. Uhura tore her gaze from the Lutungu long enough to look up at Spock. This was your idea? Spock looked at Pike, who nodded faintly. I believe it to be a present from the one known as Santa, who got a little help in the inspiration department from a very special elf, Una winked. Uhura reverently placed her new Lutungu on her chair. She lightly kissed Spock on the cheek. Tuesdays, after beta shift, we'll call it the Lyre Fire Hour. Spock's eyes twinkled as his mouth twitched up at the corners. I look forward to it, Ensign. All right, enough of this sappy stuff, said Una. Santa left plenty of other goodies under our tree. Pike grunted as he picked another box. La'an, let's see what the elves replicated for you. He shot Ortegas a questioning look. She took another drink of her cinnamon fire martini to hide her smile. A knife appeared in La'an's hand. She neatly sliced through the red and gold wrapping paper. Where were you hiding that? Ortegas's eyes went wide. If you have to ask, then you need a security training refresher, said La'an. She frowned at the contents of her box. It appeared to hold a copy of an outdated Starfleet Security Protocols manual and a snow globe of the Enterprise. She opened the worn-looking manual, only to find it a hollowed-out shell of a book with a thumbprint reader-style safe inside. She pressed her thumb against it, and it popped open, revealing a brightly colored stash of candy. La'an dumped the candy in her lap and ran her fingers around the perimeter of the safe. It's the perfect size for a phaser and half a dozen mini stun grenades. Santa knows you well. Una raised an eyebrow, staring at Ortegas, who stole a piece of the candy and popped it into her mouth, grinning. I don't get this one, said La'an. It's just a snow globe, said Ortegas. See, there's a little Enterprise in the middle. Spock and La'an stared in horror as Ortegas shook the snow globe. Is the ship being consumed? Asked Spock. Maybe it's a training exercise for children who live near asteroid belts. La'an turned the snow globe over in her hand, studying the white flakes as they collided with the ship. Indeed, said Spock. Perhaps the white substance is an acid, which will slowly erode the ship if the children cannot remove it from the sphere. An important lesson in time survival training, La'an nodded. Is there a prize in the base if you rescue the figures inside from the sphere? She tapped the bottom of the snow globe. Ortega snatched the snow globe, holding it protectively to her chest. It's all right, little Enterprise. They can't hurt you. Una once more stretched over Pike's legs in order to reach a present under the tree. He stared fixedly at the ceiling. This one's for you, Erica. Una tossed her a plain manila envelope with a bow taped to the top. Can I borrow your knife? Ortegas held the envelope out to La'an, who deftly sliced open one side before her knife once more disappeared, like it had been transported away. Ortegas slid out a 6-page document, her brows knitting together as she read. Congratulations, said Una. I didn't file that. No one knows. Ortegas narrowed her eyes. Why? Merry Christmas? Una shrugged. And now I have a little leverage on you. Pike leaned over and whispered in Una's ear. She nodded. Yeah, that's the incident. He whistled, shaking his head. When she stole the, said Uhura. No, Pike cut her off. When she rigged the, said La'an. No, Una interrupted. Ortega slid the file back into the envelope. Best present I could ask for. Jim leaned over, batting his lashes at her. You and I should be best friends. Please, no, Pike muttered, just loud enough for them all to hear. Sam reached under the tree. Instead of a hermetically wrapped, replicated present, he pulled out a standard-issue shuttle supplies hard case with a bow taped on top. He handed it to Jim. I got you a little something. Jim eyed him suspiciously as he opened the case. His face lit up, and he pulled out a quartet of collapsible 1-liter water purification bottles. Underneath, the case was packed tight with 2 flavors of ration bars. Jim lovingly ran his fingers over them, counting the bars. Spock raised an eyebrow. That must be at least 3 months of high-calorie emergency ration bars. 4.5, Jim hugged his brother. They discontinued the lemon cream and carrot cake flavors. Because they're disgusting, Sam hugged him back. I traded a few of our decent new flavors to get your gross old ones. I know exactly where I'm going to put these, Jim whispered. Sam tightened his hug and stroked the back of his little brother's hair. Una cleared her throat. Close up your case, Jim. This is a party. No one wants discontinued ration bars when they could have homemade petit-fours. She reached backwards for a tray, stretching like a cat, and sighed a little as her spine loudly popped. She passed the tray to La'an, who took a little cake and passed it along to Ortegas, who took 2 before passing it to Jim. Go on, Spock, give it a try. Jim held the tray in front of him. The petit-fours were coated in a thick chocolate ganache. Don't worry, I'll make sure to walk you home myself if you get so wasted you can't do calculus in your head. Ortegas caught Spock's eye and gave him a double thumbs up. He hesitantly picked the smallest cake before passing the tray along. Jim, I am not sending you home with nothing but a hard case full of discontinued ration bars, said Pike. It's time to make things interesting. Rattle your hand around in the replicator roulette bowl and let's see what gets printed up. Jim closed his eyes and dramatically rummaged his hand around in the mixing bowl before pulling out an unlabeled card. He reverently laid it in Pike's hands. The captain ruffled Jim's hair, gently smiling down at him before he headed to the replicator. Computer, if this is clothing, make it in a men's size large. If it's food, he frowned at Jim. If it's food, reject the cartridge and we'll find something else. The replicator's lights flashed double green. Oh, good. I'm not going to end up in another medical journal, said Jim. I still can't believe you ate something labeled generic hazelnut and cocoa spread, said Sam. You're allergic to every word in that description. But I love a good spread, said Jim. No, you love to spread. Sam felt all eyes on him. He snorted at Jim. Serves you right if you get a box of Enterprise stationery. I will use it to fake official memos across the galaxy, said Jim. I don't even need to copy your handwriting, Chris. All I need to do is smear the signature with a little marinara, and everyone will believe it came from you. The replicator beeped cheerily as the door opened, revealing a festive red and gold rectangle. Lightweight, said Pike as he took it out, and squishy. I bet it sucks, said Jim. He ripped the package open and something red tumbled out. This might be more La'an style. He held up a moisture-wicking robe in bright security red. It was wide enough to fit him in the shoulders, but so short the hem stopped right above his crotch. A familiar gold Starfleet Delta was embroidered on one breast. Underneath was a pair of matching red high-waisted tights with a gold Delta on the hip. Are you sure those are a men's large and not a girl's medium? Asked Ortegas. You got the new workout tights? Una clapped in delight. Jim stared at her incredulously. You can't be serious. The quartermaster will be distributing them after our next resupply, Pike sighed. Spock eyed the skin-tight red fabric. Is the goal to discourage exercise? Ortegas laughed. Hey, let's see the back. Any messages written on the ass? Jim turned the tights and robe over, but the only thing on either was the gold Delta. I think he should model them for us, Una winked. If I do, then Spock has to model his sweatpants, Jim grinned up at her, and Chris has to show us what he's secretly hiding in Michael Burnham's box. Jim, no, said Sam. Pike's mouth tightened into a sour line. Jim, Michael might as well be my niece. Una bent over to adjust her sandal. While there, she kicked Pike's box from under the couch. It slid across the floor. La'an grabbed it, ducking behind Ortegas' chair before Pike could intercept. Ortegas reached into the box and pulled out something small and shiny. Pike crossed his arms. Please put that back, Erica, now. A grin split Ortegas' face. I need to meet this Michael Burnham. She triumphantly held up a men's thong in shiny command gold with the words Captain's Log written boldly across the pouch. Uhura and La'an's eyes went wide. Una bent in half, laughing. Spock turned to Pike. I will comm you contact information for my B supplier. Does your sister work for the quartermaster's head office? Asked Jim. Between us, this feels like the new uniform designer at Starfleet is especially horny. Look at those tights. And these fitted uniform shirts are a bit... Jim tugged at the gold fabric snug across his chest. Man boobish? Ortegas waggled her eyebrows. Jim's gaze slipped to Spock's chest. It's like the side seam is pointing straight at people's nipples. I thought you boys were hacking the replicators to tailor them extra tight on purpose, said Una. My uniform isn't half as snug around the chest as Chris's, but then I saw the men on Starbase 12. Uhura whistled appreciatively. That station is known for its incredible views. Well, if you'd like a view of my ass, Etz, I'm going to refill my drink, said Jim. Jim dramatically swayed his hips to their catcalls as he circled around to Pike's kitchen counter. He leaned against it, watching how easily laughter filled the room. The Farragut was a good ship. His crew would kill for each other, but they didn't tease each other. They wouldn't plan a holiday party for the people who had nowhere else to go. They'd die for each other, but he wasn't sure they'd live for each other. He added shots of vodka and peppermint schnapps to four mugs of steaming hot cocoa, topped them all with Pike's kosher vegetarian marshmallows, and took his time walking back to the couch. He handed mugs to Ortegas, Sam, and Spock. You know, Spock, my ship's clock is a little off from yours. I've got a lot of energy to burn. When this winds down, you want to try on our workout clothes and have a sparring session? Spock looked scandalized. I would not inflict Michael's so-called sense of humor on anyone unfortunate enough to venture into the gym while we were present. Ortegas leaned forward, batting her eyelashes. You're really not going to model for us? These alleged gifts belong in the recycler. Spock stood up and suddenly leaned to one side. Jim braced a hand against Spock's hip and tried to push his body back to the middle of his center of gravity. Ah, I believe I am inebriated, said Spock. Any drunk confessions you want to make? Una's eyes twinkled. No, said Spock. I shall return to my quarters now, where I will endeavor to find an appropriate thank you present for Michael. Una and Uhura's eyes widened. Jim nodded at Una, then squeezed Spock's shoulder. Hey, big guy, before you summon more bees, why don't you and I play a game or two of chess, said Jim. This has escalated beyond bees, Spock said darkly. That wasn't a no for chess. Jim hastily picked up Spock's Enterprise-themed clothing as well as his own bright red workout tights and robe. I promised to walk you home if I got you tipsy. I'll carry these while you just hold on to the wall. Spock followed Jim to the door, his hand lazily dragging along the wall. The wall is quite smooth. I find the texture pleasing. Tell me all about it while we walk. Over the next 5 minutes, Jim learned exactly what composites the wall panels were made of, where they were manufactured, how they were installed, and a surprising amount of drama about two Enterprise repair techs who never replaced panels straight enough for Spock's standards. Spock paused outside his door. Did you actually want to play chess? Or was this a convenient excuse to leave the party without causing undue attention or distress? Why can't it be both? Jim grinned at him. The corners of Spock's mouth ticked up 2 millimeters. Come inside. Jim chuckled. I'm surprised Michael didn't write that across the ass of your pants.